Good morning. Today is Monday, the 12th of October. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools, Mr. Chris Hartley. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Brian. It's good to be here. Beautiful Monday.
Yeah, it's kind of almost looks fallish.
It's here.
We don't have the smoke today.
Yeah, it's a nice break.
Or the inversions and nice.
That's right. You kind of look up after that rain and like, hey, wait a minute, what's going on up there?
Yeah.
That's a nice break for us all.
Absolutely. Winston, what do you got over there?
Throw in the sponge. How did the expression throw in the sponge come to be used as an acknowledgement of defeat?
Throw in the sponge.
It's probably throw in the towel.
I was throwing the towel.
Yeah. Probably has the same root.
Same connotation, right? Just
sponge.
Was it from boxing?
I'm thinking maid service, you know, and floors and scrubbing the floors and that stuff, skullduggery, or dishes.
I'm going with a sports affiliate.
I'll go servant.
Should have followed Chris. He was closer.
Oh.
In the early days of boxing, a contestant's seconds would toss in the corner of the ring the sponge with which they had to wipe his face as a sign that their man could not continue and they admitted defeat. The practice is continued today, except a towel is substituted for the sponge.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to leave.
I won't mess with you.
Yeah, so you guys have a good day. I'm going to leave on that note.
Yeah.
That's the only time I've ever figured out one of those things.
And you had to deviate off the trail to get there. That makes an awful lot of sense.
It's going to be a good day.
Yeah.
Thanks, Winston, for the softball.
Yeah. Oh. Had some interesting discussions this weekend about obviously various topics, but one of them was talking about the variety of responses that school districts have to the virus. I mean, everything from wide open normal, wide open a little bit of change. I'm aware of one school district in Southern California where the kids are in the classroom with the plexiglass around, but not able to talk.
Wow.
Everything is done through I guess cell phones, keyboards,
so
whatever might happen.
In the room, but they're basically
so you got the social, but there's not. Yes,
interesting.
And then obviously the at home. What are we experiencing here locally? What kind of varieties and what we're a month and a half, 2 months into it? Well, I guess month and a half
school
into
year,
it.
But I mean 7 months into the
early signs are you seeing for the fall? Because this is certainly different than what it was in springtime.
Oh, for sure. Well, a lot of it in throughout the state, it depends on the level of surveillance that the county is in. Has
you
a
mean
lot
the color?
To do the color, absolutely. But it does give you more options as far as your school choices. So Humboldt County's always had the option, because of our designation, to have in-person instruction. Whereas at one point in the state, I don't know what it is today. I didn't check it over the weekend. About 90%.
I think Friday we got good guys.
Yeah, we went even to a better status on Friday, which is great for us. But at one point in the state, about 90% of the students, if you look at students where they live, really only had the option of distance learning. And our county and a few of the other rurals represent about, at that point, 7% to 10% of the students who had the option of in-person instruction, distance learning, a hybrid. So we've always had the flexibility to kind of go in any direction that a district chooses. And so get to the question of how are districts, you know, handling this here in Humboldt County. I think we've got around 8 or so districts, and I think a charter or two is in there that are doing in-person instruction. And pretty much started the year with in-person instruction, and those were the decisions of those school boards. We've got
were there robust discussions? I don't know if you monitored
very
each
intense,
of them.
Very intense.
That's what
absolutely.
I would like to have thought.
Much very intense discussions, looking at all the pros and the cons, and you know, you could ask 10 people their opinion on, you're going to get 10 different responses in a lot of cases. But with the planning of health and safety and the teaching and learning component, and then making sure you have the resources in place to provide us, you know, good quality instruction in a safe way is what every district is grappling with. We would expect now that we're in a better status that we start to see more schools and districts up here, you know, bringing students in. I know a couple are going to start with a hybrid model, meaning that they'll have students coming 3 days a week on a rotation basis in cohorts. So the same group of students will be together
We used to call those classrooms, you know that.
Classrooms, cohorts.
Yeah.
The main thing is that those groups of students and the teacher are a unit, and they're not moving between different cohorts or groups of students.
Which I suppose does a check off on the list for you guys. But when you think about reality, each of those have got families. The families have different connections.
Sure.
The teachers have, you know, and it's like, okay, fine.
Well, that's the deal.
And
with
I understand
this
it's probably more liability prevention.
Well, and I mean,
or reduction, rather, and to try to reinforce, that doesn't mean you go out and go willy-nilly throughout
sure,
the rest of the
sure.
week.
And it's the, you know, it's the Department of Health guidelines as well. And so, you know, we work closely with them because at the end of the day, they, you know, we really count on them to assess our practices and what we're doing and give us the green light and the thumbs up. And I mean, we've been working on things like scenario planning. We just finished our guide, and public health has had a guide out for quite a while, but we needed something a little more robust for schools. The questions that you get are tons of them. Like, I was at a barbecue. There was a person there that might have had some symptoms. I potentially was exposed. What do I do? You know, that to just imagine any scenario that you have out there, and we get those questions. And so we've worked hard to create a...
Like, you guys are the experts.
Well, you know,
instead of,
I mean,
DHHS, right?
Well, we use them as support, you know, but our employees will be asking us, you know, for assistance. So we've created some guides and some scenario planning, and you can't, Brian, you just can't over communicate on this thing. And there is so many different layers to it and directions that you can go that I've been, you know, we're just truly trying to give people the support and guidance that brings a high level of comfort.
I know school nurses now have something to do.
Oh, yeah. Better be careful.
Like
there might
the
be a school
days,
nurse
right?
around
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
You're going to get in trouble.
Yeah. What is the finish line on this thing, Chris? At what point, you know, because if we were talking about some of the other regular, normal things that go on and kids get sick and that kind of stuff, when we come back, we'll talk about it. Okay,
sure.
So when does that meld into that?
Sounds good.
KINS, News and Information Time, is 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Chris Hartley. Chris, so when do things start changing? With school boards, obviously each is kind of their own little autonomous unit.
Absolutely.
But it's really easy for me on the outside to say, you know, Chris, you need to have two cops on every campus. You need to have fences up high. You need to have... Da-da-da-da-da.
Absolutely.
And I'm spending your money.
That's right.
Okay, when it's your money,
all
of a sudden it's like, well, okay, now we're going to be a little bit more judicious with this. Same thing I would suspect with this is, okay, you need to have 100% health. You need to have, you know, automatic sprinklers of this stuff to sterilize.
Yeah,
you need
enough.
To da-da-da.
Right.
And you go,
sure.
Yeah. So how do you find a norm and then acceptable risk?
Yeah, well, I think it's, you know, acceptable risk is a way to look at it. Harm reduction is another way to look at it. Where is the most harm happening? At some point, students not having in-person instruction and being at home and the mental health issues, the lack of, you know, good, solid educational support that we know you get more of when you're at school.
Well,
and so you have
even
to
getting
look
the flu in
right.
the fall, and it rips through school, right. And everybody has it, and then you don't have that anymore. And I know that this can be a little bit more aggressive and a little bit more serious than that, sure. But at some point, you know, I mean,
that's the point I'm trying to make is that each district has to kind of assess where's the greatest level of harm at some point. Is the risk of getting COVID at school as minimalized as possible so that harm is pretty limited versus the harm that's happening by students not coming to school, right? So I think that's the factors that each board is weighing. At HCOE, we are now in a hybrid model, you know, so we're bringing students into our programs on a rotation basis, and we're very ecstatic to do that. It's taken an enormous amount of preparation to get to the point where we felt comfortable making that decision. Been a big partnership with our teachers and our staff, open conversations, open communication. Our message to our leadership is there is no no. Everything's yes, let's figure it out. And that, we're doing our absolute best to get to yes on all of the big decisions. And I think the schools in Humboldt County are doing the same thing.
But your staffing is a little bit more robust than some of the other small little bitty school districts. So if it takes the time to get there, are they relying on your determinations and you guys kind of as the gals as the resource?
Sure.
Or is everybody kind of doing it on their own?
It's both. So we provide a ton of support with professional development. I think you had Colby in here a couple, like last month, talking about teaching and learning.
Yeah, we talked about you.
Yeah. Hey, all right. But, so a lot of support in that area. We serve as a liaison with public health. We put together documents like the reopening documents and protocols that districts can utilize. So, yeah, we provide as much support as we can. But at the end of the day, it's the district has to put their program together. And they're doing a tremendous job.
So how do you measure an intangible?
Okay. That's a great question for you.
You can tell. Yeah.
What do you think?
You can tell with a cold.
Yeah.
You got it or you don't. You measure or you don't. Okay. That's a black and white determination. The kids are having a negative impact from the lack of socialization. And
how do you measure that, right?
Yeah, that's such an ethereal concept, let alone trying to measure and then have a standard of what you're measuring against. And because it is one by one by one by one, how do you do that?
Yeah, well, in the current situation, I have no idea. Outside of the check-ins that staff are doing with their students, even if they're doing distance learning, teachers are acutely aware of the need to check in with students. How are you? It's not the same as saying how are you in the morning when they walk into your classroom, and you have that verbal and you have the nonverbal, right? We communicate, I think 70% of our communication is nonverbal. You know, we're missing those cues. But being aware of the different family dynamics and how they can support one another is a big part of what schools are doing. There was a story over in Scotia. Students not getting coming in to get their work, and talking to the superintendent principal over there who does a house visit, goes to the house to check in on the students. Now that's beautiful. I mean, that's really going the extra mile, and we have educators doing that all over the county. You know, so the personal relationship that they've built prior to all of this, you know, really does go the distance when you're paying attention.
Small districts, that makes a ton of sense.
It makes a ton of sense. You know,
if you got a large rural or a large concentration district,
it's a different game.
You probably have multiples going out.
You do. Yeah. And so we know that there's gaps out there and that there's students that are struggling that we probably don't have a full understanding of what's going on until we can all get back together again.
You mentioned the resources that are used. Obviously, there were priorities to establish some of these protocols that were unanticipated at the beginning of last budget year. Now this budget year also. Has that made a huge swing? Is the state making accommodations? I don't know how full the truck it was that delivered the computers
sure.
to each of the schools and to help them out and things, or for you folks also. I mean, that's not free stuff.
No, it's not. The state was pretty generous in providing some relief funds for the things like purchasing COVID-related items, so safety equipment to technology to this, that, and the other. The issues that we're having real quick on technology is you might be able to buy the computers, but you can't get your hands on them. The demand is so high throughout the country.
Oh, backstock. It's 8:30.
Hi, Hi, my name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn more about the Trades Academy at hcoe.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Chris Hartley. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redec, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and...
Humboldt County Office of Ed.
Redec. along with Baywood. Chris, taking a look at some of those challenges that are out there, you know, timetables, at least it gives you something to work against.
Sure. Yeah.
This thing has no timetable. Okay, fine. So you got to set that aside and look at what does have timetables. Budgets are challenging any time. What kind of, you know, when you, we were talking about the purchasing of technology and some of the challenges in getting those orders filled, and how much of a clinker has that one thrown into the equation for you?
Well, it's been a challenge and a struggle for districts to like right now we just had a call with, and I got to give Senator McGuire some props. He's been really helpful in bringing us together and helping us to advocate and pushing through some issues for us. And we had a call the other day, and we asked the districts how many folks have technology purchased and ordered, but it's on back order,
pending.
Everybody,
right?
Everybody's got devices that they're waiting to receive. And so it's one thing to have the funds. It's another one to find the darn things and get them in your hands. So that's been a struggle for us. But, you know, we're working on it. And through partnerships with folks at the California Department of Education, you know, we've been able to get quite a few devices here recently. We actually just got close to 1,900 Chromebooks that got delivered in HCOE on Friday. And so we'll be working to get those out to districts this week, actually. So that's a big deal. So we've got 1,900 devices that we were able to broker a deal on and get our hands on them. And it was actually a partnership with groups like Intel and different folks like that. It's
the big boys.
It's interesting. Yeah, it's an interesting world out there as far as the networking that goes on to just get your hands on something.
That's what I would suspect one of the lessons at the end of this is. It's, you know, peer-to-peer,
yes.
You know, super to super, but now you're getting out into other areas in the vendor arenas that you guys don't
never played in that. So, you know, with Staples and big corporations and the CDE, the California Department of Ed, put us in contact with this rep from Intel. Colby and I had a meeting with her. A Zoom meeting over the computer. Of course, she's based out of Seattle. She says, I think we got a line on about 2,000 Chromebooks. You want them? And we're like, yes. And the next thing you know, 3 weeks later, we have them. And so how in the heck, you know, do you get lucky enough to make that connection where somebody can get from Seattle?
That you want to continue to keep that relationship
absolutely
alive and well.
The power of networking is incredible, and we're doing anything we can to support the schools here in this county.
So what happens, you know, with all the investment in the notebooks and laptops and whatever else is that are being purchased? If my guys are kind of even halfway close, in four or 5 years, they're all gone.
That's right.
Okay. To maintain them, or what are you going to do with them for the next little bit? Do the kids get them, and that's their baby through high school, and
probably
upgrade as we go, and don't lose them because that's your one and only.
I think so. You know, these devices are, you know, under $300. I don't see. I mean, schools are going to try to get back everything that they can, you know, to service them. And they have a shelf life of 4 to 5 years, and so. They're going to be fairly expendable, is my feeling. You're just not going to be able to get them all back and have an inventory. And, you know, you're kind of writing them off to some degree. Here you go, student X. This is your computer. Please treat it nicely, you know, as we work through the system here.
Well, and as you know, I've been an advocate for years of getting rid of textbooks.
Yeah.
And taking those monies, buying laptops every couple years or whatever, and whatever the software allowances are so that you can get access to this stuff. And there it is. There are no more textbooks. Nobody's killing their kids trying to carry a backpack with seven or eight textbooks. They've got one computer, and that's theirs, and they get it at first grade, and they get module updates as we go, and
could,
new
you
stuff.
Know, who knows what it
there
could,
you go, it's, and it's over.
It's hard to say what it will evolve to, but we know going through this that there will be some new best practices that we want to make sure maintain and continue, and that we don't just hit reset and go back to exactly what we did before. You know, so there will be some tremendous benefits out of the experience that we've had as far as new ways to deliver instruction, new ways for students to be independent learners.
How about interacting with parents? Is that become
it's been real
easier
important.
To do or more difficult to do?
I don't have a 100% answer on that, Brian. I'm not really sure if it's gotten easier or not. I think what I have heard from districts and educators is that parents have been certainly very appreciative of the work that educators do. And this is kind of taking the curtain back a little bit, like, holy cow, this is not easy, you know, and thank goodness for our teachers. And so everything that I've heard here in Humboldt County is that the parents and the schools have been working really well together because they've had to. What other choice is there? However, we still have families that are not as connected, and those are the ones that we're super concerned about, right?
Diminishing percentage or a smaller percentage than what you were concerned that it might have been?
I would say probably the same. I would say it's still the same. I don't think that it's that's increased or that's significantly decreased either. I think when you don't have this frequent communication and contact with your families that you do in an in-person instruction model like we're used to, you're going to have probably more damage and more, you know, lack of students being able to keep up on their studies.
Are the kids more engaged, typically?
I would say it's mixed.
Okay, I was wondering, some of those in that border zone of maybe not, are they tending to become more engaged because of this, or is it easier not to?
I don't think there's one trend across the board, but I've heard like our own students in our court and community school programs, you know, we work with students who have gone through the system and we're kind of like their last opportunity.
Yeah, the high-risk kids.
And
yeah.
For some of them that I've talked to my staff with, they've just really done a great job that this model really works for them. But they need a ton of support. They still need to come by. We still need to connect. We can't just like hit autopilot and hope it's all going to work out.
Right, yeah. You don't. No. Take staff and throw them into other projects.
And our staffs are working super hard to stay connected with everybody and make sure they have the things that they need.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Chris Hartley.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Chris Hartley. Chris, if folks are looking to help out, are there things that communities can do at this point? Because there is such limited interaction, it's not like there's going to be school carnivals.
For
sure.
Or
those types of things where there's interaction. I would suspect PTAs aren't happening. There's a lot of that kind of community-neighborhood interaction that isn't able to happen now. If somebody is wanting to, can they help out? Can they volunteer? Can they get involved? Or is it best just to wait?
No, I think it's a great idea if folks have an interest to contact the district, the school district that they want to offer some support to. Every district's got some, you know, different needs and different challenges that they face. And there's always a need for assistance and help. It's different. You know, I mean, it's a different type of setting. And we've been going around and talking to a lot of our service clubs here in the county. And I've been just completely, you know, I'm always impressed and just happy to be a Humboldt County resident. When you go to these clubs and you see the generosity, folks want to help out, whether it's with a technology donation or with just offering some support of how they could assist students and maybe some online tutoring. You know, all kinds of different creative ways that we can get involved. You know, Jim Ritter, of course, through Career and College. And so, you know, he keeps things going on the Career and College front by having local businesses give talks. And he had a promo event where folks were able to record some information about, you know, industry, and we're streaming that down to schools and to students so they can still be connected to a lot of that type of stuff. It's just we got to deliver it in a different way. So, yes, the answer is yes. If there's anybody that's interested, contact your district. Give us a call at HCOE. You know, stuff even with our early literacy program, you know, is still going strong.
That's what I was saying. Some of the, and I don't even know if the county library does it anymore, but reading to kids, you know, that used to be, you know, first grade,
sure,
second grade, that kind of stuff. Okay, maybe it's done over the computer, which is kind
absolutely
of a weird thought, but
yeah.
Okay. I mean, who knows?
Hey, our creativity, you know, has been a real important skill to have these days. So, yes, we'd love to have all the help we can get.
When you see that in a lot of the hairdos that are walking around now.
Except mine.
Yeah.
I'm losing it.
Join the club, baby. Join the club. KI, we've been talking shop this morning with Chris Hartley. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. See you then.